WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. You really have to beat the odds to have an acting career if you're a Native American woman. My guest, Tantu Cardinal, is the first Native woman to star in a U.S. theatrical film. That film, Where the Rivers Flow North, was released earlier this year and co-starred Rip Torn as a Vermont log driver being thrown off his land by developers. Tantu Cardinal played his companion and housekeeper. Her performance was described in the Village Voice as transcendent, and in the Philadelphia Inquirer, Stephen Ray wrote, "It's nothing short of delightful to watch this actress as she burrows deep down inside this colorful, crabby, sweet, and tough woman." Cardinal was featured in Dances with Wolves as Black Shawl, the wife of the spiritual leader Kicking Bird. She also co-starred in Black Robe. Tantu Cardinal was raised by her Cree grandmother in a small village in Edmonton, Canada. Last month, I spoke with her at the Flynn Theater in Vermont for an event sponsored by Vermont Public Radio. Tantu, it just shocked me that you're the first Native American actress to star in a featured film. It's just amazing that there's probably been so few roles.
There are so few roles. That's to star in a U.S. film. In Canada, it's a different story. We have a different profile in the country. And in the U.S., we're sort of, there's a tendency to kind of not admit some of the past.
Now, if there aren't a lot of Native roles, roles that are written as a Native character, can you go to a lot of auditions for roles that aren't written as Native?
You can try. My agent said it's very difficult. I have an agent in L.A. now. It was difficult for me to even get an agent because it's considered creative casting to cast me as a human being in a film. You know, he'd submit me for a role of a woman who is, say, for example, a teacher. And they say, well, it's not written for a Native American. And he said, well, I'm being creative here.
Now, did you watch Westerns when you were growing up and see how Native Americans were shown in American pop culture and Canadian pop culture, I guess?
Well, a lot of Canadian pop culture was American. Right.
True enough. Yeah. So what was your impression when you were young watching this stuff?
Well, when I was young, I lived up in a northern community that's considered isolated. We didn't we had radio. We didn't have television, electricity, running water, any of the rest of that stuff. So to see a film, it was a train ride into Fort McMurray, and it was a huge event. And being a child of seven, you're not really a critic yet. It's wow, you know? Whatever's happening is cool. And then later on, you start to feel ashamed. You know, see Indian guys coming along and bam, they hardly even pull their pistol up and already they're falling off, you know, by three at a time. And that was hard. It went along with the ages of maturity. You know, I remember once I was watching something and I was becoming aware of the difference between Indian and white, because where I was raised, we were all people in the bush. The white people couldn't get too cocky because they were the minority and they understood they needed us. If their kids got sick in the middle of the night, they'd bring them to my granny or somebody else who knew how to deal with sick people out there in the bush with no doctors, nurses, road. Needed firewood, you got to be nice to those Indian guys over there. You need water, you got to be nice to those Indians over there. And so it was a different kind of atmosphere. I didn't really see the difference between us that much. And as I got older, I remember seeing these Indians and I was saying, yeah, because one guy looked like an uncle of mine, eh? And I was saying, hey, uncle, get him. And the dummy, you know, he goes and does something really stupid and embarrassed me all over again. And so that was the beginning of seeing my images.
I want to find out a little bit more about what it was like for you growing up in the bush.
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
Now, you were brought up, I think, mostly by your grandmother.
Yes.
And as you said, the nation you grew up in was half Cree and half white. Do I have that right?
I'm part Cree, part Chipewyan, part Lakota, part French, and part something else.
Right.
And I'm just one in town.
You know? No, if you're not, if you're of mixed ancestry, uh-huh. are you entitled to governmental Native American benefits? Did you have like the full benefits, whatever they were, when you were growing up?
The Métis, the English called us half-breeds. The French called us Métis, which is mixed blood. Uh-huh. And the Cree called us Otapemsoak, which means people who own themselves, because we never signed treaties. We had our government, we had a president, and the Canadian government hung our president in 1885, Louis Riel, because our provincial government, I mean, our government that was set up in the middle of the country was set up and represented Indian people, white settlers, and Métis people, because the Canadian government started building a railroad through, and there were no laws to protect human rights, only government business laws. So that was the mandate of our government, to make sure that laws to protect human beings were established before this this railway came through. But now there's been some work done on the Canadian Constitution. See, we're not recognized as a nation. We're not even recognized as a people in the U.S. But in Canada, just as of recently in the past 10 years, I'm not a historian, in the past 10 years, we're recognized as a nation in Canada.
I'd like to find out what language you spoke when you were growing up, and also what the languages that you heard, and if you used that at all in developing, you know, how you used that in developing the accent for Bangor.
Well, where I grew up, I grew up with people who spoke five languages. I think the prominent language in our home was Cree at first. This is not an easy story to tell, Terry. This is because I was raised by my grandparents, and my grandmother and grandfather were together till I was 8. He was English. She's Cree and Chipewyan. So when Cree people were over, I'd hear Cree. When Chipewyan people were over, I'd hear Chipewyan. And when my grandfather was there, I'd hear English. So that was at home.
What did you draw on from that to create the way Bangor spoke?
Love. I love the way people express themselves, to know Cree and to know how the language is, because it's a philosophy that's more related to the Eastern way of looking at things.
If I asked you, for anyone here who hasn't yet seen your film, if I asked you to speak a little bit like Bangor did, would that be obnoxious?
I don't know. You would judge for yourself. Because in Cree, there's no TH sounds. There's no P sounds. It's more of a B sound. And for an example, how the language is mixed, like table in French is latap. And in Cree, it's mitsunatik. And in my language, it's we use the French, but we give it a Cree fling. You know? Latap, or something like that. You know, latap. And potato maybe might be a better example. Potatoes. Le patate, in Cree, a skipwawa, and in my mix, patois we call it, it's la patagua.
We're featuring an interview with actress Tantu Cardinal, star of Where the Rivers Flow North, co-star of Dances with Wolves and Black Robe. More after this break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to an interview with Native American actress Tantu Cardinal, recorded last month at the Flynn Theater in Vermont. She recently moved to Vermont after several years in L.A. Now, I'm trying to figure out how growing up in a remote region like this, without plumbing, without electricity, no movie theater around, certainly no television, How did you decide you wanted to act? It's not like you were exposed to any of this.
My storytellers everywhere. My brother was, he would be, what's one of your telecasters, you know? Because he would go out, he'd always be going out visiting people. And there's Joe Cardinal's places where they'd have poker games a lot of the time. He lived down by the lake, little log house, and people would go to Joe Cardinal's to play poker. Well, my brother Harold would go check out the poker game for Mom, my granny. And he'd come home, and she'd say, well, how's the game, eh? And he would sit there, and he might deal. And just by the way he dealt, you knew who was there in that position, eh? And then the bets would start happening. And just the way he did it, you know who was at the game, who was betting heavy, who was losing, who was trying to cheat a little bit. it was wonderful. I mean, and then there were the old people who would tell us the old legends. And it was just around us all the time. And also radio was our big thing. So when I got older, I had a friend, and her and I used to play radio, where we'd take turns being the disc jockey, you know, and we would sing songs together, and we'd do news reports, and the whole works.
Now, when did you start seeing movies and seeing television and putting together the storytelling that you liked so much with actual performance on stage or screen?
You know, it was a gift every once in a while when I was a child to see a movie. And then when an Air Force base came into our community, and there were all these white families that came in, and the women got together and put a little theater show on for us. And I think that's the first time where I saw theater that's the first time I saw theater, but it was presented in such a way that you could make it up yourself. It could be anybody's. Theater could be anybody's. And then when I went to the city and saw what people thought of my people, my family, and how they treated us, when I started finding out the truth of the history, I was so enraged. And I wanted to do anything I possibly could to change that around. Justice had to come in some way or other. The only vehicle that was open at the time was politics. So I tried that, and then an opportunity came to act in a film. And it was at a time when Canada was trying to protect itself against the U.S. culturally, and saying we had to tell our own stories. And in that same germ of thought came, then why don't we have Native people play Native characters? So that's where an opportunity came, and for me, all of a sudden, it meant this is some place that makes sense to me. This is where we can tell stories. We can retell things. We can kind of bring the truth into the light and try to change things that way. So it was that discovery.
You've been living in Vermont since July.
Mm-hmm.
How do you like it?
I love it. Love it. And it's not just because I'm in Vermont that I say that.
Is there any connection between the region of Vermont that you're in and the climate or the ecology of where you grew up?
When I first came here to do rivers, we'd been living in L.A., I had a distinct sensation of the energy coming up from the earth, which is something that I didn't feel in L.A. There's so many human beings...
What a shock.
You know, there's so many human beings that the energy seems to run like this on the planet, and it gets tangled in your feet, you know? And so I felt the energy come up from the earth, and every day that I'm here, I get a remembrance, a sensation of when I was a child, when I was back in Anzac, and I need the seasons. That's what I grew up with. It's a natural thing for me. And I think in some way it gives you some kind of a balance, and it helps you get rooted. And the family is flourishing. My husband loves it. The kids are just thriving. And it's a wonderful, people have a sense of community, they have respect for children and education. And when I think of LA, there's just the sandpaper goes across me like that. You know, it was just so dead. But this is rich.
Tantu Cardinal stars in the independent film Where the Rivers Flow North. Our interview was recorded last month at the Flynn Theater in Burlington, Vermont. The recording engineer was Sam Sanders. Our thanks to Mark Vogelzang and Fred Hill of Vermont Public Radio, Philip Byther of the Flynn, and Art Ellis of WHYY. This is Fresh Air.